Hello, my name is Lawrence Wolf, and welcome back to our video study through the book of Hebrews. We have been seeing in the last few chapters how Jesus Christ is a better priest than any of the Levitical priests, than any of the priests that came before. Again, remember that the author is writing to a group of Hebrew Christians, of Jewish Christians, who, because of persecution that they're dealing with at the hands of the Roman Empire, they are considering giving up on pursuing Jesus, giving up on their Christian faith, and returning back to the old way of doing things according to the Old Testament, according to their Jewish upbringing. Well, Jesus, we've seen, is a better priest than the Levitical priesthood because he is a priest like Melchizedek, who was a better type of priesthood than the Levitical priesthood. And now, as we move into chapter 8, we begin to see Jesus as a better high priest because he is the priest of a better covenant. Let's read in verse 1. Now, the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. So Jesus Christ is a high priest who serves in heaven rather than on earth, who serves in the true tent, he says here, or the true tabernacle, right? So not like the tabernacle or the temple on earth, but the true tabernacle. What does he mean by that? Verse 3, for every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old covenant, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. So he tells us here that Moses built the tabernacle, which they patterned the temple after the tabernacle. So Moses builds the tabernacle based upon the pattern that God shows him, which apparently was a reflection of the true tabernacle in heaven. So the worship on earth was to mirror and reflect what true worship in heaven looks like. So Christ is a better priest because he actually sits in the actual tabernacle and the actual presence of God, at the actual right hand of God, to mediate on behalf of his people, to bridge the gap between God and man. And that he is a better priest because he is a part of a better covenant, he says here. Verse 7, for if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. The fact that there is a new covenant now, the author says, means that it's clearly better. Because if the first one was fine, why add a new one, right? So Jesus is now the priest over a better covenant than the old covenant. By old covenant, he refers to the covenant that God made with Israel at Mount Sinai. That covenant was conditional, that God promised them blessings which would only be theirs if they could keep his commands. Those were the terms of the covenant. You can go back and look at Exodus chapter 19, specifically, and see God lay out those terms for the people. If you can obey my commands, you will be my particular people. You will be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, if you can keep my commands. Right? So Israel, if they could have kept those commands as God's particular people, as a kingdom of priests, right? We've been talking a little bit about how priests mediate between God and man. They help bridge the gap between God and man and make it to where people can now enter into some sort of relationship with God. In the Old Testament, it would have been an imperfect relationship because the sacrifices that they were making were not sufficient. We'll talk about that more later in the book of Hebrews. Whereas now, we, because of our high priest Jesus, are able to enter into a perfect relationship with God, or at least begin to start that perfect relationship that will be completed in heaven. So a priest mediates between people and God and brings people closer to God. So Israel as a nation was supposed to bring the other nations closer into a relationship with God by being different. If they followed the commands that God had given them, they would have been pointing a light to God and His glory that all the other nations would see and could become a part of this global worship of God. So it was conditioned upon that. The covenant failed because Israel failed to keep those promises. And so in Jeremiah 31, if you want to go back and study that out, God actually makes a promise of saying, I'm going to bring in a new covenant. In fact, we're going to see the author of Hebrews quote directly from Jeremiah 31 here in these next few verses. That God says, I'm going to bring in a new covenant that's not like the old one. Well, the author of Hebrews is telling us, look, if there's a new covenant coming in, it's because there was a problem with the old one, which you Jewish believers are trying to turn back to. Maybe you should stick with the new one, because Jesus as its high priest is better, because it as a covenant is better and makes better promises. Verse 8, he said, for he finds fault with them when he says, here's the quote from Jeremiah 31, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. So this new covenant that was coming in, God says, I'm not going to give you laws and say, if you can follow those, you will be blessed. God says, no, I'm going to bless you. You will be my people. You will receive the forgiveness of your sins and the things that you failed to do in the past. You will be forgiven of. And because of that, I'm going to bless you by putting my laws inside of you, in your minds and in your hearts. So you won't have to go around teaching people, hey, learn to know the Lord. You'll all know me because I will transform you from the inside rather than giving you external commands for you to keep hoping to receive the blessings. Instead, you will be blessed internally, which will transform the way that you live externally, right? Verse 13, in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete, and what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So by bringing in these new promises, he says, for Israel and Judah, he is doing away with the old covenant, which was not going to work. It was never going to work to accomplish what God was looking to accomplish in the world. So he brings in a new covenant with Jesus as its high priest. Jesus, by providing himself as the ultimate sacrifice for sin, Jesus makes it possible that anyone can receive forgiveness through him. Jesus makes it possible that people can be transformed internally now to live for God in the way that they should. And so now, if you go look in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, for example, you see Peter saying that Christians have become God's particular people. Christians have become a kingdom of priests and God's holy nation. That has extended now in the new covenant beyond just Jewish people, ethnic Jews, to include all people who place their faith in what Christ has done now become partakers of this new covenant in which we all get to be a part of bringing other people closer to God. Not because we are able to follow commands, right? This covenant is better because it's not based upon people who fail, people who are weak, people who are sinful, but it's based upon the one who is always faithful, the one who kept all the commands, the one who was the perfect sacrifice. This covenant is based upon what Jesus Christ has done, right? And so Jesus is the priest of a better covenant that is actually able to accomplish God's mission here on earth, that is actually able to complete what it says it will do, because it is not conditioned upon what we will do, but upon what Christ has done. Let us consider then. These Old Testament believers were thinking about, or these Hebrew believers were thinking about turning back to the Old Covenant, the way of doing things under the law of Moses. We may also be tempted to turn back to something from our former way of life, thinking that it may provide whatever for us. And what the truth that we find is, though we were not recipients of the Old Covenant, that we were never made, you know, told that if we could do these things, then God would bring blessings on us. We understand that there is only one way that we will ever truly receive God's blessing. And it is not based upon what we can do. No matter what hardships we are facing, it is to place our faith firmly in our great high priest, Jesus. That is what gives us any standing before God whatsoever. That is the hope that we have. That is what we should cling to. And that is what the author of Hebrews is encouraging his readers to do. I hope and pray that something said today has ministered to your heart, and I hope and pray that you share it with everyone that you encounter. Thank you, and God bless.